them golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, each wearing dark and evermore shall be.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Eternal and Almighty God, as we continue the journey of Lent, we come before you on this fourth Sunday in Lent. As your people worshipping together with all the saints around the world and angels in heaven, we come before you to adore you and praise you. We thank you for the beautiful morning that you have given us together, to gather together with good health and strength in our bodies, and also an opportunity that you gave one more day for the gift of life and all the blessings that come with us, even though there are things that we may not like or we may not feel pleasant or glad to have in our lives. But during those times, you are with us, you continue to be with us, and giving us all opportunities to serve you and to be a blessing to this world. Bless us today as we worship together, Lord, to remember the Lent season, to reflect on our lives, to reject evil forces of wickedness around this world, and to renounce all kinds of injustice, and also to repent of our sins during this time. Help us, Lord, to recommit our lives into your hands these days, as we look forward to Easter, where we'll be celebrating the victory of your power of resurrection over death. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in the ministry and mission that you have given us to do as a church and also as individuals. Help us, Lord, to be caring and compassionate and to spread your love to those around us, especially those who are in need. As we gather here today, Lord, we pray that your blessing be upon us and your presence be with us. Touch each and every one of us according to your grace. Fill us with your power as we leave from this place, Lord. In our songs we sing, in the prayers that we make, in the meditation of the word that we do here today, in all the things that we do here today, bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. Guide us, Lord, and bless us as we do your work in this community. Touch and each and every one of us here today with your word as we go from this place, to fill us with your power, to be living and powerful witnesses for you in the days to come. We pray this prayer in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. Now it's a greeting time. We can wave each other and stand up and wave to each other, and also unmute everybody online and say hi to each other online as well.
Morning.
Good morning, Jean. Good morning, Chuck and Vicky. Good morning, Martha.
Good morning.
Good morning, Robert. Nice to see you. We don't see a few people who...
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Martha.
Good morning, Martha.
We have a good...
Martha. Good morning, Margaret.
You may be able to see the sanctuary.
Whichever one you are.
Morning, everyone. Good morning, Kathy and Bob. Nice to have you. I think we covered everyone. Okay. Thank you all for being here today and online worshiping together. The choir will be singing an anthem now. You can remain seated and join them. If you want to join them, it will be on the screen as... Okay, yeah. So please remain seated and join us. Please stand for the responsive reading, which is taken from Psalm 40, verses 1 through 11.
Let me know. I waited patiently for the Lord, who inclined me and heard my cry.
The Lord drew me up from the depths of pit, out of the miry bog, set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure.
The Lord put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God.
Many will see and be in awe, and put their trust in the Lord.
Blessed are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud. to those who go astray after false gods.
O Lord my God, you have multiplied your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you.
Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be numbered.
Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you have given me an open ear.
Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required.
Then I said, Lo, I come. In the roll of the book it is written of me. I desire to do your will. O my God, your law is within my heart.
I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation.
Lo, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord.
I have not hid your saving help within my heart. I have spoken your faithfulness and your salvation.
I have not concealed your steadfast love and faithfulness from the great congregation.
O Lord, do not withhold your mercy from me.
Let your steadfast love and faithfulness ever preserve me.
This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. It is our prayer time now. As a church family, we gather together and share our prayers of blessings and give thanks to God together as a family. And also at the same time, we share our prayers of petitions and burdens and concerns together and lift them up to the Lord as a family. And let us share our prayers of blessings and concerns at this time. The regular prayer items are listed at the back of the bulletin if you want to turn with me over there. Use this as a list for your regular prayers on a daily basis. Post this list at your study desk or prayer desk and use them and promote these persons and these items in your prayers. Let us continue to pray for Martha and Jack for their continued recovery from their treatment that they are doing now, and Jack is here with us worshipping together now. Thanks be to God for that. And Martha, you have any update?
Yes, I do. First, I'd like to thank everybody for their continued prayers because they are working. My scan came back good. I'm still cancer-free and I'm getting stronger every day.
Yay. Thanks be to God. That's what we have been praying for. And we want Jack to sing with us in the choir, and that's the next step. You're praying for that.
Yeah.
So thanks be to God is good, no matter what.
We miss your bass voice.
So God is good and He will make it happen. So let us trust and in God and continue to pray for that.
And for his wife Joyce, to her health to be well and find medications that maybe can help with dementia.
Yeah,
we'll Alzheimer's.
We are praying for you. We have been praying. And God is going to. Let us continue to pray for the Blankenship family and also Titus family who lost their dear ones in their grief time. Let's pray that God will give them comfort and peace. Are there any special prayer requests? We'll pray for Carol as she's recovering. I don't know any status from Lou and James. Are they doing okay? I haven't seen them online.
I talked to her this past week, but they were okay.
Okay.
So,
okay.
She said the communion when she came that they were hoping to be
here on this Sunday. Yeah, and also Jan and Harry told me the same thing. Both of them are missing today. So let us keep them in our prayers wherever they are so that God's grace be upon them. Any other special call-outs from this list or anything else?
Yes.
pray for him that he'll be okay.
What's his last name?
Peek. P-E-E-K.
Kenneth Peek. Okay, any other items to call out?
Thank God for a job offer for my son, Alan, and I think he's going to take it. So.
Oh, good.
Yay.
That's out of where? Since North Carolina?
No, Maryland.
Maryland, oh yeah.
it was North Carolina for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
He was working, but now...
Maryland, okay. We'll pray for him and for his new job. If there are no other call-outs or special announcements, let us go to God in prayer. We'll spend a few moments in silent prayer where you can bring out your unspoken prayers at that time. And then I will close with a summarized prayer. Let us pray. The scripture says, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Loving Heavenly Father, we come before you as your children, trusting in your promises that you will hear our prayers and answer our prayers according to your time and your will. We thank you for all the many blessings that you give us in our lives, especially for the life that is a gift from you. We thank you for all the joys and the blessings and the good health and strength that you give us in our bodies. Even when we don't deserve many of them, Lord, you still continue to be faithful with us. We have been unfaithful to you in many ways, but you have been faithful to us. Thank you for covering us with your love and protection every day. Also, we come to you and look up to you for our needs and our burdens, our concerns that are bothering us, Lord. We know that you are the source of all good things, and we know that you desire only good things for us, Lord. We come before you as broken people. Some of us are broken in our bodies, and some of us are broken in our souls and in our spirit. But we know that you are the one who can make us whole. And when we are afraid, you are there to comfort us and calm us. Touch those who need your healing at this time with your healing hands, Lord, and comfort those who are in distress. Strengthen, Lord, those who are weak, and empower those who are troubled. Let your Spirit direct people who need directions in their lives. We know that you are there with us through our trials and our tribulations. Lord, we thank you for your presence in the midst of our trials and tribulations, that you will never leave us or forsake us. We thank you for everything that you give us, Lord. Help us, Lord, as a church, to be faithful in this community to do your work. In whatever way and opportunities that you give us, Lord, to do it faithfully and to bring honor and glory to your name. Bless us, Lord, as we worship together here, that your name will be lifted up and your people be blessed. Each and every one of us here, Lord, from the young one to the oldest, will live here with a renewed strength from your Holy Spirit. We also pray for those who could not be here today or online. Bless them, Lord, and keep them safe, and give them the grace whatever they need, wherever they are. We pray that you be with us as we worship together to glorify your name. In our singing, in our praises, everything that we do, Lord, bring an honor and glory to your name. We thank you for your presence in our midst and guide us, Lord, and bless us with your wisdom as we meditate on your word, so that it will become power in us and also through us. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offering, please. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Loving God, you are the source of all that we have and all we are. We come before you with a portion of what you have given us, Lord, for the furtherance of your kingdom. Above all, we offer ourselves at this time, our lives as a gift and a sacrifice before you. Help us, Lord, to find joy as we freely give our prayers, our presence, gifts and service to support the ministry of this church and also the mission of the church around the world. We ask you to accept this offering of your people. We thank you for those who were able to give joyfully today and also pray for those who could not give today. Remember all of them in your love, O God. Bless and help us to use this offering to share your love to this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please remain standing for the reading of the word. The scripture reading is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9.
Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which is in Aramaic, is called Bethesda, and is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. From time to time, the angels of the Lord would come down and stir up the waters. The first one into the pool after each such disturbance would be cured of whatsoever disease they had. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, Do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me in the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, Get up, pick up your mat, and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was the Sabbath. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God and living Word, we come before you, your Word at this time, that you have given us through your Son, the Word that appeared in this world as flesh and body. Help us, Lord, to be humbled before your word, that it will become powerful in our lives and also to this world through our lives. Help us, Lord, to remember that you are with us no matter where we are, in what condition we are, looking and caring for us, even when we are not aware of it. Help us, Lord, to be humbled before your spirit and also before your word, so that whatever your word speak to us, that we can obey that in our lives. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We have been looking at the encounters of Jesus with many different people in the last few Sundays. Today we have a unique encounter of Jesus with a person who had been sick and lying, unable to walk for 38 years at the pool of Bethesda. That's what we read today in scripture in John's Gospel chapter 5. Have you ever felt sorry about yourself, about that you asked, how are you, to someone? One time I remember that I asked a guy, you know, how are you? Just we ask everybody, how are you? And he said, well, I was fine until you asked. I felt sorry for myself for asking. Sometimes we feel sorry about ourselves asking somebody, because you get a lot more than what you wanted to ask. But here is a guy who was paralyzed for 38 years, and then lying there begging for money in this situation, and Jesus walked by and asked him, do you really want to get well? Well, the question doesn't seem to be very reasonable for a sick man. He probably does want to get well. But Jesus asked that question, but he got an answer that was more than needed, a lot more than he needed. So the simple question was really, do you really want to get well? And the answer was, well, I don't have anybody to get me in the pool. But I mean, the question and the answer are not related to each other. But Jesus did not feel sorry for himself for asking him. He continued. And he continued to talk and have encountered this with this. That is about Jesus that we see in all the conversations. Jesus does not give up on people. Sometimes we do. Like the person who asked me, that responded to me like that, I just walked away from him. You know, I didn't know what to answer. But Jesus does not. He will go further. Because he knows more than you and I do about people. And he knows that there is more need to that person than you can see in front of him. A lot of people were walking by that man that day. And along with that person, a lot of other people were lying there too, begging for money in various different situations. But this was one particular person that Jesus stopped and looked at and had an encounter with that person. If you look at my life and your life, that is what happened one time or other. Among all the crowds and people among us, around us and our friends and families, Jesus came and stopped at you as one person and started an encounter. And that's how our lives were changed. God knows each and every one of us where we are and what situations that we are going through. And he will not pass by anyone who is in need without noticing them and without stopping there to help them. And that's what Jesus did here. And he stopped there and he asked this man a simple question, that do you really want to get well? Many times we hear from the world that God helps those who help themselves. Is that in the Bible? It's not in the Bible. But that's not a good statement either. God helps those who help themselves. That is something that you hear a lot. But to us as people, we know that God helps people who cannot help themselves. That is what God does. So it's not like the world says. It is God who always looks for people who are not able to help themselves. He is there to help them. We are all witnesses or experience, we have experienced those kind of situations in our lives. Beyond ourselves, the situations where nobody could help, God stepped in and helped us and rescued us from those situations. So God is a God who will help people who are not able to help themselves. And if you look at the verse 4, in many versions of the Bible, it is not there. Only King James Version is there, that this man has been there for 38 years. Many versions include that in a footnote, which explains why these people were there. A lot of other people were also there. And you will see in certain Bibles, this word, verses are there with a little notes at the down. But King James Version has it there, verse 4. So the fact, of course, is that the pool of Bethsaida, like many other pools in Jerusalem, is an intermittent spring. So these people were lying in around this pool waiting for an angel of God to come and stir up the pool. And they believed that during that time there is some kind of a miraculous power come through that water. So anyone who gets in first will be healed. That's what we read there. A lot of people, a lot of scholars are saying that this is not a natural phenomenon in many pools, but because of the geography in that area, when a lot of rain happens in certain parts of that hills, and the water comes down there, and there are reservoirs of water that keeps collecting, and all of a sudden they burst, and then it will flow down the stream, and wells like this will have a sudden rise in water. That's probably what happened there. Other than, it's probably nothing miraculous. But people took this as some kind of a miraculous event, and it happens even now, right? You will see a lot of people gathering around churches and trees and temples and see that there's a, like miraculous things happening there on certain time of the year. And they, you know, sick people go there. It happens in many countries, in many societies. So same thing here. People were waiting for this water to rise and have a miraculous power come through that water so that they can get healed by jumping into the water. But the problem with this man was that he was lame and he could not get it. He was paralyzed. And he has been there for 38 years waiting for this to happen. That's a long time to wait. And he was still waiting for that to happen. 38 years and counting is a long time to do anything. Not to mention sitting in front of a pool or at the side of a pool waiting for the water so somebody else. So the man took his place with many other people. After all, like misery does love company, as we say it. Then Jesus comes to him and asks him, do you want to get well? Well, the question doesn't really make any sense, and of course he wants to be healed. That's why he was there. After all, he's lying beside a pool that was supposed to heal people. And Jesus asked that simple question, really, do you really want to get well? There was a meaning behind it, why Jesus asked that question. Because Jesus must have asked a specific question for a reason. On the surface of it, it may be a silly question, but there are reasons and lessons to be learned from it. There are two things that we notice in this man here. First here, Jesus looked at him and learned that he was there for 38 years, and he still doesn't have a plan. Well, he does have a plan, but it's the wrong kind of plan. His plan is to have someone help him to get him into the pool. That's what his plan is. And the second thing that he was doing, or Jesus was trying to tell him, was that he continues to keep on trying the failed plan over and over. For 38 years, that plan never worked. And he still hopes that it's going to work and still stay there. And notice his answer, that his answer is not directly to the question that Jesus answered. His answer is that, I have no one to help me. So the whole plan of what he was trying to do was in the wrong side, on the wrong direction. He was trusting someone else as a human being to come and help him to help get in the water. When there, ultimately, his help has to come from God. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell him, brother, you don't have a plan. Even though you have a plan, and you know that it has failed you for 38 years, you still continue to repeat that plan and you get the same result. If you want a different result, definitely you want to change your plan, right? If you have the same plan over and over again, you get the same result. But if you want a change in result, you have to change your plan. That's what Jesus was trying to tell him. And also, this man already figured his problem out. What was his problem? His problem was not being sick and paralyzed. His problem was nobody is helping him. That was his problem. So he already has figured out his problem, which is not the real solution to his problem, because nobody is going to help him, because everybody else is there for the same reason, to get in first. And you and I, if in the same situation, we'll get him jump in first. He's not going to be anybody's priority when the water starts to come up. And that is another lesson that we can learn from this, that we sometimes have everything figured out already. And then let God know what the solution is. God, we have figured out everything that we are going through. This is what I need. Give me that now. I need somebody to help me out in this pool. That's what he was asking for. But that is not the solution that God has for you. Even though you figured out all your problems and you figured out the solution for you, then you ask God and present him with all the solutions and say, God, approve this. But God wants you to change our plan and change our direction. Because God has a special plan for us. A plan that is good for us in our future, not to destroy us or harm us. A plan to flourish us and prosper us. A plan that is better for anything ever we have ever planned for ourselves. So the man, even though he figured out his problem and his solution, Jesus told him a different way of looking at his condition. Jesus did not tell, oh, okay, I'm going to help you. I'm going to stay here and help you out. When the water comes up next time, I will help you go in the water. Or Jesus said, okay, I will find somebody to come and help you. Or things like that. The man was looking at something similar solution for this problem. But Jesus gave him a different solution. He said, get up, pick up your mat and walk. Jesus said the strangest thing that he could ever imagine in his life, and saying the thing that he had not been able to do for 38 years, Jesus said, get up and take up your mat and walk. So in other words, your plan has failed you. You have to have a different plan and the solutions are different. Here is my plan for you. And here is my solution for you. I want a change of situation from where you are now. And that's the only way you can do it. Get up and pick up your mat and walk. Many times we look for instant blessings, instant healing, instant transformation. And we think that we can achieve these things through our plans, our means. The condition of many of us today is that we are waiting for something to happen in our lives and praying for it and waiting for it and praying for it and waiting for it with no real hope of achieving it. I'm sure this man probably has given up on his hope of ever getting healed. He was probably very comfortable where he was there with getting the money that he can collect and stay on with his life. That's probably what he was doing. With no other people in sight or plan in sight, that leaves this man with no real hope or no way to change his condition. Jesus comes up with his condition, the strangest one that he could ever imagine or think of. I'm sure he was scared to death when he heard that words from Jesus. Get up and pick up your mat and walk. The man did not say a simple yes for the answer of getting healed. Being well holds more responsibilities. Being well holds more accountability. There will be a complete transformation of his life. The deeper question that Jesus was asking was, do you really want to be transformed? So when we are puzzled with questions and we are puzzled with our situations and we don't know what is going in our lives, we need to ask ourselves that Jesus and God is asking us, do you really want to be transformed? If you are willing to take up the mat and walk, yes, there's going to be power coming to you and changing your situations. Many times during this Lent season that we are trying to leave out certain things in our lives that are bothering us. Hatred, violence and wickedness and evil things that are around us that we are trying to bind us together, we are trying to reject them and renounce them. But in order to do that, do you really want to have a change in your life? Then the Holy Spirit can work through us and in us to change those habits around us. It happens to anything. To change our habits or behaviors, to change, to lose weight is another thing a lot of people complain about. But do you really want to do it and have a commitment to do it? For doing that. Too often we plod along in very different bad situations and conditions, craving to be healed, yet resisting any change whatsoever. So Jesus said to get up and stand and walk. When he said to pick up the mat, he was removing all possibility of a relapse. Because if you leave the mat there and walk, he probably can come back and stay there again, because the money that he was getting probably was an attraction to him. He said, don't leave their mat there either. When you are going to walk, you get up and take up your mat and do not leave anything behind and go and walk. And then also walking, that something that never hit him for about 38 years. And Jesus was telling him, do not expect anyone else to help you. You have to walk on your own, and I am going to make you walk today. Many people want to be carried away after that they are healed. They expect everybody to gather around them and keep them going. Jesus says, yes, you can do it on your own. I am the one who will make you walk on your own, provided you are willing to take up your mat and walk. We all can see ourselves in a sense in this picture. We are helpless, weak and crippled and lame in many occasions and many times, lying just like that man at the pool of Bethsaida. Bethsaida means house of mercy, without having been receiving mercy for 38 years. We all can find ourselves paralyzed at times, unable to do the things that we want to do and we ought to do. We find ourselves lame and we do walk very weak and spiritually disformed. Jesus wants us to be whole, that you do not have to wait around without hope. You can get up and go beyond where you have not imagined. Jesus asks us the question today, and he is looking for an honest answer. When he is asking you, do you really want to get well? He's asking us, are you ready for a transformation? Are you ready for a change in your life? Can we trust God to change and transform our situation? Can you let go of your fear of change and allow God to make everything new in our lives? A new life, a new way of living, that is the good news Jesus is bringing to us. As we continue with the journey of Lent during this time and looking forward to Easter, God is asking us a question, are you ready for a transformation? And God is waiting for an honest answer from each and every one of us. If we say yes, he is going to give us the power to walk in our situations and leave, do not leave anything behind, but to go forward with our lives. May the good Lord bless us with these words as we go from this place. The closing hymn is, I am thine, O Lord, if you are able, please stand. It is 419 in the hymnal if you want to follow that.
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer unto thee. Nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the precious bleeding side. Bring me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Look up with a steadfast hope, and my very lost in thine. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou.
People of God, God is looking for an honest answer from each and every one of us. Healing or whatever you are looking or waiting for will come in God's terms and not ours. Go in the knowledge that He will be there no matter where we are in our situations. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Amen.